You are welcome to RCCG City of Refuge Digging Deep podcast. God bless you as you listen.
Digging deep again. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, for our God will bless us and he will not leave us alone. Amen. We began to look at Acts chapter 5. And last week, we saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. And we looked at discernment of the Spirit. How many of you were in the camp? Or how many of you listened to or watched the first Holy Ghost service in the camp? Did Daddy speak about discernment or not? Can any of you remember at all? And we try to explain that every word we hear in time is a word for the season. God wants to push out a lot to us, but the point is, are we ready? Amen? Are we ready to take in these things and become hearers and doers of the word of God? But I pray tonight, the power of God will be so strong on us, and the word of God will become flesh in our lives in Jesus' name. So we have looked at Acts chapter 5, majorly from verse 1 to 11. Amen. And I said I will continue in the spirit of discernment before we go to other lessons to learn. Amen. We looked at it. Can anybody remind me the kinds of discernment we looked at? We looked at one according to the book of Hebrews. We looked at another one according to the book of 1 Corinthians. We said one is the discernment of the Spirit, and one is the discernment to know what to do at the right time. Can you remember? Can you remember? I can't hear anybody. Can you remember? Good. And also, I said, I want us to continue from this point. How do you know that discernment is on the move? How can you discern? Now, remember I told you that discernment is not spontaneous. Did you remember? I said discernment is not what? It is what you grow into. So if you have questions, please ask. Hello? Ask. So, how do you know discernment is on the move? One, there is Christ-centered spiritually in every aspect of our lives. Who is centered? Jesus Christ. City of Refuge is not centered. People are not centered. We preach Jesus. If you look at the entire passage in Acts chapter 6, you will see how the apostles try to preach this same Jesus. Jesus only is our message. Jesus is our all in all, our Savior, our sanctifier, our baptizer, and our coming King. Now, let me quickly say this. It's unfortunate that in church today, we don't learn the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts would have been the base point for the church to interrelate with government, the world, ourselves, and our God. Of course, you know that they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. What did Jesus say about the people in the world? What are we meant to do in the place of interrelationship with government? And our response to what we should do generally. Amen? So the book of Acts, becomes all encompassing, and it is very, very important. But today, a lot of churches are pushing it away. But whether you like it or not, if we are going to raise an end time, if we are going to preach the word, if we are going to get ready for heaven, because righteousness must prevail, Jesus Christ must reign supreme in all the activities of men, he rules and reigns in the affairs of men, we must preach the word in discipleship according to the book of Acts. Imagine what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. It was a case of money. Money, money. The same problem the churches are having today. Everybody is teaching and preaching money. This is the tertiary. It is not even the secondary. What is the primary is that we bring soldiers, raise end time armies, hold our hands side by side until we get to heaven. People keep forgetting that the earth in which we are is a pass-by. And the earlier we begin to remind ourselves of these things, the better. So it centers on Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is why I laugh when people start to chase miracles up and down. When you chase miracle, where do you put the person who gives the miracle? Amen. Amen. When we learn about discernment according to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20, it is to direct us to the scriptures. It is not to take us away from the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. If you are there, you can read for us. Amen. When there is no discernment, you can see what people seek. Amen. People don't seek the word of God in the scriptures. They do what? They seek familiar spirits, wizards that peep, that mutter, that should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? What is the essence of Christianity in the place of discernment? It is not to push us away from the things of God. It is to direct us more to the things of God. But what do we have today? You have situations where people say, Baba, help me to look at it. What does the future hold? Has the Bible not explained to you that the thoughts he has for you are of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end? Did the Bible not tell you that greater is the end of a matter than the beginning thereof? Did the Bible not tell you that he was going to give you the latter and the former rain together? What sorts of prophecies do you seek? Amen. Amen. What discernment does is to build up the church and its members, giving the church power, giving the church wisdom, giving the church character, giving the church boldness, and giving the church unity. That is the power in discernment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. What discernment does is to build up the church. The question comes to you, is the church built up today? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If the church of Christ must have direction, we need discernment. the church of Christ must have direction, we need discernment. So the question is this: what is your direction? Where do you want to be in the next 5 years? This is embedded in discernment, knowing your right from your wrong. Once a man knows his right from his wrong, the enemy cannot cheat him again, because he now carries power. When you know your right, nobody will take unnecessary and undue advantage of you. Amen? Once you have discernment, you carry wisdom. And wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom in dealing with day-to-day affairs, to follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. When you have just finished praying and you are preparing like this fasting coming now, the enemy has started preparing for some people. How? He begins to run into them the power of the flesh. First, he starts to help them reduce the time to which they wait. They begin to look at the time instead of them to focus on the Holy Spirit. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? Then from there, they begin to miss 1 day, 2 days, and they will still be pretending that they are with the church in the same commonness of purpose, which is not so. Now, you can't tell me that while you are not in the move with the church, you will not fall into sin. The time of fasting is a time when people don't comply, is a time of great fall for most Christians. Am I speaking to somebody? And let me quickly say this, according to the book of Acts, whether you are a member or you are a worker or you are a minister, I speak with all sense of humility. If you are under this mission, everything, the instruction this mission gives, become binding on you. Amen? It becomes what? Binding on you. For you to do what? For you to obey. Because if you do not, you may be trampled upon. One of the prophecies that the GO gave to us was that while the move of the Spirit is going on, and you are left behind, you will be trampled upon. Can somebody tell me what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They were simply trampled upon, because they could not follow the move of the Spirit. I beg of you this season, if you are the type that speaks gossip and backbite against the leadership of the church, you don't get clear-cut cases. Some people have been speaking stupidly about what is happening. That the GO is being forced down. That is none of my business. Let me tell you what the implication of what you are doing. The implication of what you are doing is that Christ is the owner of this church. Not that the GO, not me. If you speak against the anointed, you may die. And I mean literally die. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit moves and people don't want to move. They are trampled upon. I'm not scaring you now. I'm telling you the reality. In the book of Acts chapter 5, we have seen how God hated lying spirits. When the power of the Holy Spirit is on the move, God hates the lying tongue. The lying tongue was what Ananias and Sapphira had, and they also were hypocritical because they did not follow the clear-cut instruction of the church. Nobody says you shouldn't bring your money, as it were. You can tell them that I've sold my land, I'm giving you half, I'm taking half. This was what the apostles told the both couples. Let our yea be yea, let our nay be nay. In this mission, if you cannot follow the clear-cut instruction, singles, this is the instruction of the church concerning marriage. The bed should remain undefiled. If you do it, you are putting yourself in grave danger. And I speak vehemently against every power of gossip, against every power of lasciviousness in the church today. The Lord of hosts, uproot them in the name of Jesus. Because the point is this: anywhere there is gossip, there is witchcraft and familiar spirits. I've come to understand in my time that when the power of God is on the move, familiar spirits begin to create division in the church. Why? Because they want you to look elsewhere while they perpetrate their evil works. This is the strategy of witchcraftry. And in the name of Jesus, upon whose authority I stand, let every power of familiar spirit, of darkness, of confusion, of setting apart in the church, let it die in the name of Jesus. We remain a church that will move on, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. It is time that every confusionist should be flushed out of the church, or else the move of the spirit will be stopped. So the question is, where do you belong? If you cannot follow the clear-cut instruction of the church, of this mission, then leave. Don't be found being hypocritical. You say something in the front, you go and say something else in the back. And for all I care, I'm happy. Speak against me. You know why I want you to speak against me? Because the church is not my church. And anytime you raise a standard and you want to fight a battle that is not yours, you are fighting against Jesus. Jesus told Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. It is hard. You don't fight Jesus, the Lord of hosts. Enough of all this rumor mongering. Amen. I hope you will come to Digging Deep next week. Yeah. Now, discernment helps us to create love of righteousness and a heightened sense of sin and turning away from a known evil. You want to be able to build your defenses against sin, you need discernment. Amen. 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 So when Christ becomes the spirituality of all the in all the aspects of our life, now listen to this. When there is discernment, there is rejection of all prejudice. When I mean prejudice, I'm talking about bias. You know, in the church today, there is partiality. But when there is discernment, there is what? Rejection of all prejudice against educational barriers, against ethnic classes, against exclusiveness, against denominational warfare. Now, thank God for the Sunday school. They gave me a book called Understanding the Anointing. And while going through the book, according to Kenneth E. Egan, and also the one, because I had to go back to start reading, because I have a powerful move in my spirit that revival is about to burst out in the churches. And they are not busting out for busting out's sake, because we are in the last days. And perilous times are coming. Now, when I began, I had to go back to pick up the book, God's General. And one of the pitfalls of all those men was that there were biases and prejudices against each other. Etta was standing on her own, moving in the power of the Spirit. Dowie was busy talking against her. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Why? They operate the same. You, if only they could realize that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, they would have walked in love. 1 Corinthians 13 made me understand that among the cutting across, the cutting edge of all the gift and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love remains number one. If we have discernment and we don't have love, we are like tickling cymbals and sounding brasses. The basis of discernment is to bring together love and unity. Why would Deeper Life be talking against Mountain of Fire? What is Tony's own against which other church chosen? Let God be God. It is his church. This is the warning of God for us. There must be a rejection of prejudice. In the church today, I hear people saying that Redeem is a Yoruba church. Who is saying that? I hear a lot of nasty, dirty things that were not there, ab initio, in the book of Acts. They were there, actually. Yes, they were there. Permit me to say the right thing. They were there, but the point was this. The point was that God wrote all those mistakes for us to see. Amen? Amen? God wanted us to understand their fallibility so that we can develop on it. Did you not know that we had three different apostles? One was called Peter. One was called James. Another one was called Paul. So Peter and James, because they were with Jesus, one said faith without works is dead. Another one said no. Faith without works does not matter, because I'm teaching that Christ has given us absolute grace. Ridiculous grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. Who was that? Paul. And here was Peter. James was saying that faith without works is dead. Paul was saying that no, it doesn't matter what you do. Christ paid for it all. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And here was Peter standing in between. So Paul was in the far left. James was in the far right. And Peter was in the middle. Why was Peter in the middle? You remember that at a point in time, when Peter was talking about faith and works, he quickly remembered when God showed him a vision before he went to the house of Cornelius, when he said, kill and eat. And God said, don't call what I have called pure impure. So he was confused. These men, we saw their depravities and we saw their mistakes. Today, the book of Acts is being taught so that we can guard jealously against these misdemeanors and walk perfectly with Christ. Am I making sense to somebody? So, in the things of the Spirit, it wasn't a function of who was wrong. Amen? Amen? I wish to God that I can finish chapter 5 today. When we do things right, the move of the Spirit will be strong. So, after enough of Acts chapter 5 verse 1 to 11, let us move to 12 to 14 or 15 now. Because there was holiness in the church, there was righteousness in the church, the move of God was so strong. Chapter 12, verse 12, sir, of Acts chapter 5. And by the hands of apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one commonness of purpose. In Solomon's porch, verse 13, and of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnify them. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Verse 15. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. verse 16. There came a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Healing is the children's bread. When we do the right thing, walk in holiness and righteousness, the power of God will be so strong on us. Being added to the church was not by advertisement, though. Amen. The addition to the church was by the move of the Spirit. Amen. So, let us do the right thing. Walk in holiness, righteousness, and let us see the gifts of God. Stir up the gift inside of you. Amen. And then let us move to the next level. From verse 17 to 28, then there was the second persecution. From 17 to 28, there was the second persecution. So the persecution came. Pharisees, they picked them up. Amen. And they locked them. Have we not expressly commanded you that you should not preach the name, this name of Christ? Why are you trying to cause commotion in this country? Amen. And when they locked them up, the Sadducees, God raised a man called Gamaliel. And he said, leave them. If it is truly the work of Christ, it is a matter of time. Amen. Anytime there is a move of the Spirit, have you ever wondered why you come for breakthrough and deliverance service? And the anointing and power has been so much upon you, and you know that you have gotten a blessing, and when you get home, a new set of attack comes because the enemy wants to cower you. Anytime there's a move of the Spirit, the enemy is ready to cower you, to chase you away from the things of God. But you need to stand your ground by the power of the Holy Spirit. This has been the plan of the enemy, and it has remained the same. So you need to put your faith to work. Today, we have seen that hypocrisy must be dealt with in church. We have seen that absolute surrenderedness to the Spirit is key. If you are under this mission, obey the instructions of the church. It is high time. If you looked at that 17 to 28, this church did not fight the government with carnal warfare. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The church should go back to the place of prayer. Whatever the government wants to do, let them do. Our kingdom is not of this world. It will be nasty of the church to engage the government when we have our needs. But it is a proof that the church has strayed. And that is why these issues are not new. The issues of money, the issues of administration, the issues of politicking is not new in the church. It has been there in the book of Acts of Apostles. But according to what we learn, these things are written for our examples. What happened? They did not fight a battle, a spiritual battle, carnally, Rather, they went back to their knees and prayed. Today, the church is mingled with politics, soiled with stains of anarchy and corruption and directionlessness. And this is not the plan of God for the church. And you and I are the church. And so if you develop yourself, you develop yourself, I develop myself, and we all move together in the power of the Holy Spirit, something profound will happen. The world cannot control the church, because the church does not belong to us. The church is the church of Christ. And he deems so to defend his church. Show me a church that absolutely obeys the word of God. Brethren, if God be God, let us serve him. Amen. If God be God, let us serve him. Now, every moment in time, the power of the Holy Spirit keeps drifting away from the Christians, from the saints. The power of the Holy Spirit to heal, the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver, keeps drifting away because we walk in the flesh. I dare somebody this night to stir up the Holy Spirit within you and do not sit down again. Do not sleep excessively again. Listen to the midnight cry. Stand up. Destinies are made, destinies are mad in the night. Destinies are made, destinies are mad in the night. It is not time to sleep. I don't care if you work for 12 hours in a day. You must create time to wake. I'm speaking from a feeling in me. Why is it that it is time that we are sleeping that the enemy comes to torment us in our dreams? Every time you have those stupid dreams, you keep seeing the same thing. Going back to where you were when you were younger. Seeing some evidence of stagnation. It keeps coming because we do not carry the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, while men slept, the enemies came to do what? Every time you have that dream, something is sowed into your life. Ah, something is sowed into your life and my life. So it is not time for us to sleep anymore. It is time for us to recharge and wake up. Grudgingly stand up and begin to engage the Holy Spirit in speaking in tongues. While you are yet speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit is charging you up. While you are yet getting charged up, the power of God will come upon you. We can't afford to sleep again. 2017 must be different for us. We have been moving in a circle, a vicious cycle for a while. It looks as if we are not going forward. And let God be God and all men be liars. He has played his part. The point is, have we played our parts? From the days of John the Baptist up to this very present moment, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and violence take it by force. I dare you to stir up the Holy Spirit in you and stop walking by sight. I dare you to vehemently resist the power of the enemy this night by waking up and saying, Lord, here I am. My body is your temple. Every implant of the enemy, uproot by fire. I dare somebody to resist the devil. The Bible says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee away from you. Devil, hear the word of the Lord. My family is secured in Christ. Get back in the name of Jesus. I dare somebody to take back what belongs to you. my lost time, my lost resources, my lost opportunities, I command their recovery in the name of Jesus. The pastor cannot do it for you. It is your battle. Having done all to stand, stand. That ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. Stand on your feet. Nobody can fight for you. You will fight for yourself. You will fight for your destiny. You will fight for the destiny of your children. You will fight for your marriage. Your husband cannot just leave home and you keep running helter-skelter. Kilo nshe. You say, oh, he has run away. You cannot fast. You cannot pray. You are chasing one pastor. Will the pastor bring him back? It is your battle. You will fight your battle and you will win. In the name of Jesus, you will fight your battle and you will win. Tomorrow now, we start waiting on God. What are you waiting on God for? Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Do not seek selfish things alone. What are you offering God? Tell God this, I'm going to do your business. Why don't you handle my own business? And table your petition with importunity in prayer, and he will do what no man can do. Rise up, let us pray. Fill this temple, Lord. Fill me up. I have been lukewarm. I have been lukewarm. I have strayed. But I'm coming back. Holy Spirit, get a grip of me. The fullness of your power. Let your power reside in my life, in my home, in my marriage, in your church. Enough of lukewarmness. In Jesus' name, we pray. I want you to look at me. We can't keep doing the wrong thing the right way. Neither can we do the right thing the wrong way. If I tell you that you should start praying against the enemies of your soul, your voice will be high. But let me tell you something today, whether you like it or not, and I stand to be corrected, this God of hosts has given you requirements. You don't tell me that you will not meet the requirements and get blessed. You have to. I please beg with you. Tonight, once you get this understanding, you get it for life. For you to gain the beauty of victory, you need to follow the requirement. You have not given your life to Christ. You have not reconsecrated your life to Christ. You are not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you want to fight an enemy that is greater than you? When you say you cast and you bind, where do you think your arrow is going? Now I said, let us pray. Father, fill me up. Transform my life. I want to rededicate my life. Everybody is lukewarm. We must do the right thing. And this church, we will do the right thing. You will carry the fire. I will carry the fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit must burn in this church. Must burn in this place. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will bring people to the saving knowledge of Christ. So when I say, lift up your voice, I expect you to say, Father, here I am. Take me as I am. I have strayed so far. Bring me back to your loving grace. I rededicate my life unto you. Show me mercy. This is what I want to hear. This is your prayer. This is your earnest desire. Open your mouth and say, Father, bring me back to the cross. Let your grace save me again. I've strayed so far, but I'm coming back, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. If you have not really given your life to Christ, this is another opportunity. I want you to just raise up your hand wherever you are. All heads bowed, eyes closed. If you have not really given your life to Christ and you have not initiated a relationship, I want to see your hands up. Do not resist the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to rededicate our lives again and say, Father, in ways I've strayed away from you, forgive me and bring me back. Bring me back to your warm embrace. Bring me back. Draw me back. Draw me back. Draw me back to your warm embrace. Let your fire of revival begin to burn in me. Fill the bones with fire. Service unto you. Leitandus prakase. Yenu mashanta liba sekei. Yanduna moska handa ne yatanda riba kasota. Leiba shotali kasente ne. Holy Spirit, have your way. Madush tahanda ni. Kurwa bashete kandosh. Barak taliba zonta ni moko sente reba. Yekai tadus pra yiga shete. Zodanda ni mosh. Kayiba zota liba zontarei yatanda. Mantu sekei baruba santa dimo kosentere. Liba sekei rubu sutundu kurubu suntu yeke yende nei manaya. Liga shenterei baruba seke yende nei yadanos. Holy Spirit, move me now and make my...
For more information about this podcast, visit cityofrefugeroccg.org. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.